Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are turning towards life again and again, it seems. And we're on week some 400 and something something. And this is a total wonder. We have had a wonderful week of turning towards lifeness because we had our first session of our second season of Turning Towards Life Live, where people who listen to Turning Towards Life come and do the practice of Turning Towards Life and having a source between them. They come and do it with us online. And so, Justin, for really the first time, or maybe the second, we've been in the presence of people who are directly telling us what it's like to be in receipt of this. And I'm feeling very enlivened, encouraged, enhopened, and really amazed at what we're doing, what we've done, how this got made, who we are in it, who we are because of it, all the things it's given, gifted me in my life and continues to gift me, but also all the things it's gifting others at the same time. So I'm having this big feeling of appreciation for what reciprocity feels like. You know, we always say, if just you and I were here, Justin, this would be quite enough. We'd be having a great time and learning and deepening and wondering and finding our curiosity about all kinds of things. And then it's also for others at the same time. So just recognizing our kind of vision and our wish and our longing at the very beginning of this, which was that you and I having a conversation doesn't just belong to us. It must belong to more people than just us. And now it does belong to more people than just us. So I want to thank everybody for being people in whose heart this also belongs. And thank everybody for reaching out to us, for saying hello on email like they have done this week, for coming to Turning Towards Life Live and talking to us about what it's like and practicing with us, taking it into their marriages, their relationships, their friendships, their work, colleagues, all those places. I think that's just how I'm feeling this morning. Very full of us and what we've done and what we're doing. And then, of course, we have another source that you sent, Justin, and I'm completely confused by. And I think I'm learning now that when I'm really confused, that's when the best things come. So I'm excited and curious and wondering what on earth this means, this beautiful poem by Mark Strand that you've got us today, Justin. And good morning to you, and thank you for being here as you are every week.
It's such a joy, Lizzie. I'm so enjoying seeing you this morning, and I'm excited to take up this source. Yes, it is our, I worked this out a moment ago, it's our 439th week. We've been doing a lot of weeks of this, and it remains very alive to be in this conversation. And yes, like you, Lizzie, I was thrilled to be with a group, a growing group of people are turning towards life. Live community this season is expanded from last season. We have a Zoom room full of people. It's really wonderful. And to have met also people who've found us directly through finding the podcast, not necessarily through someone else who we already knew. And you and I, Lizzie, have also been looking at what we can tell about who's listening to Turning Towards Life around the world. And one of the things that we figured out is that our listenership has doubled over the last year. And it's not that the numbers are important in one way, but another way, it's so encouraging to hear how many people are listening and to see that this is spreading, presumably because people tell one another. So thank you for those of you who are telling your friends and your colleagues and your loved ones about this and what this might be. And thank you to those of you who have found your way to it. And thank you for those of you who have written in the last week. We've had some really extraordinary, generous emails from people telling us what Turning Towards Life has become, the role it plays. Thank you to all of you who've done that. It's been very moving. And I have been working away on the turningtowards.life website, Lizzie, and on there, I'll tell you, and I can tell everyone else, there's now a, under the picture of us on the front page, there's now a contact us button, which you can press and you can write messages to us there. So we'd love to hear from you. There's a button for supporting us. So there are people who buy us a coffee occasionally, and a number of you who support us monthly. Thank you so much. It helps keep the wheels turning on this. There's a button to join the next season of Turning Towards Life Live, which starts in September. And there's also a button to see all the conversations that you and I have had, Lizzie, about the coaching programs that you and I and our partners at, and friends at Third Space run. So there's a page which collects together all the conversations we've had over the years about our professional coaching course. And that's all now there on the front page of the website. And I think it's a great resource. So worth checking out. And now we're going to do what we do every week, and we have done for 438 previous weeks, which is to take a source and take up this practice, Lizzie. And I'm going to just say again what it is so that anyone who's new gets a sense of it. So I'm going to read it, and then you're going to read it. And when we've both read it, we're going to talk. And this talk, who knows what we're going to say, but the main feature of it is we're going to be unhurried. So we'll take our time and we'll take it in turns and we'll let this unfold. And the conversation is really between you and me and the source and the field, the in-between that is in between us. That's where it all comes from. And so this source by Mark Strand, which we will post in the show notes and on the website and on YouTube, and will come out in our weekly email, which is the other thing you can get to from the front page of the website, is to sign up for that, is called Keeping Things Whole. Keeping Things Whole. In a field, I am the absence of field. This is always the case. Wherever I am what is missing. When I walk, I part the air, and always the air moves in to fill the spaces where my body's been. We all have reasons for moving. I move to keep things whole.
Thank you, Justin. Keeping Things Whole by Mark Strand. In a field, I am the absence of field. This is always the case. Wherever I am what is missing. When I walk, I part the air, and always the air moves to fill the spaces where my body's been. We all have reasons for moving. I move to keep things whole.
Lizzie, so like you, one of the things I love about this poem is I barely understand it. So I'm... but I can feel, like many examples of extraordinary, important writing, that there's something here. There's lots of things I don't understand that I wouldn't bring into our conversation. But there's something here. It feels like a doorway into something. So I really appreciate the feeling. It's a very, I feel like the poem gets me in contact with something deep and true that I can barely see, but seems to really matter. That's its quality. And maybe in fact, that's what it's talking about. I'm now starting to realize. So I think where I just want to start with something really straightforward, trying to understand what some of these words might mean. So if I stand in a field like a farm field or something, if I go and stand in the field, what I'm seeing is, I think it's true to say that my presence in the field does mean that there's a place in the field where the field isn't, because I am. Like that's obviously true. It's always the case, Mark Strand says. But then I think this line is really interesting. Wherever I am what is missing. So in one way, it's the obvious way, like with the air, when I move my body, the air has to move so that I can be there and the air is not. That's how it works. If the air didn't move, I wouldn't be able to get to where I'm going. Like a wall doesn't move, you know, when you bump into a wall. And so there's a way in which in the very plain sense, to be in a room where I am now is to be in the space where the air is missing. But there's something else extraordinary about this line, which is also, I am what is missing. In other words, this room, this situation would not be what it was if I were not in it. There's something, there's two meanings of the word missing here, which I think are important. So one is, to be here means something else had to move out of the way. And the other thing is, to be here means that something is present that wasn't here before, that is called for. Here I am. I both create a situation where something is missing, but in doing that, I am something that is here and is part of what's called for. And I think there's something really important about being a person in this that I'm just trying to grasp for. It's really hard to find language for. But we, because we're conscious, because we experience, because we think and intend and plan and dream and long and wish and invent and create and love and all of those kind of things, we're the ones who can notice all this. It's not just a set of physical events that happens. When a conscious being stands in a room or stands in a field, the air has to move out of the way, and so something's missing. But then we get to be the presence that knows that even things can be missing, and we can respond, we can bring things into being because of it. And so our presence matters.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I've only got halfway through the poem so far, but my sense is that this is a poem about presence and absence. It's about how what's missing is also what's here. And it's also about how we are the ones who, because of the way we remember and because of the way we pay attention and because of what we notice and because we can bring things about, we are presence too. Now, this might be making no sense, but it sort of feel like I'm inching towards something that really matters about being a person and about what we do as people. And I'll probably later on get on to talking about keeping things whole, because that's where the poem goes. I've not even got anywhere near that yet. But maybe I'll stop and see what's bubbling around in you.
But as I'm listening to you, Justin, I'm thrown into the wonders of discombobulation, of being like, oh God, this is like some kind of puzzle that I can't solve or something. So I've decided I'm not going to try that, because I'm not very good at that. And one thread I have to pull on. So I always get confused by presence and absence being the same thing. And like, I've heard people say it 100 times, and I'm just like, I can feel it, but I can't mentalize about it. You know, I can't understand what's happening, but I can feel it. The way that I think I have of kind of grounding some of this is that when you said, when something's missing, it also means that it's here, that they're the same thing. I think that's kind of more ordinary language than using presence and absence for me. And somehow the words presence and absence feel quite kind of, I don't know, the things that spiritual people say that I don't understand or something. I'm very happy to listen to it, but I'm not sure those are the words that connect me to things. When I think of it as, so for example, in terms of longings, when I long for something, the feeling I have about longing is the alreadiness to long for connection. Always feels to me like the connection is here. We just have to do some things to make contact with it. It's not like connection goes away and comes. Connection is one of those given things that exists in the world. I'm not disconnected from this microphone, for example, but I have to say something and it has to make a sound for the connection to be realized and kind of grounded in my experience. So when I have a longing for passion, or I have a longing for aliveness, or I have a longing for togetherness, or I have a longing for vitality or something, I'm feeling like this poem is helping me see and feel and be in relationship with this, I don't know what to call it, truthfulness, that as I long for something, it's missing in my life in some way. It is also, because the longing is here, it is here. I wouldn't be longing for it if I didn't know its presence somewhere in my being. And so the longing and the seeming absence of it here, that it not being here with me not feeling alive, the aliveness isn't not here. It's just that I have to do some different things, or read some different things, or meet some different people to kind of make the connection with that aliveness be a reality in my experience. But it isn't that it's not here as I long for it. So that's how I'm inching my way in, or maybe millimetering my way in, to having this be not a mind game of some kind, which these wonderful things can happen like that in me, where I just think, oh, I'm just going to have to let this one be here as a concept, and I don't know what to do with it. But as I inch in and I have the space now to just find things within what's being brought to us here beautifully by Mark, that's where I can connect to wholeness. Because of course, in the sense of wholeness that I have, there is nothing missing. As I experience my own wholeness and the implicit understanding of you as a whole being, a wholeness in yourself, it's a question of access rather than presence and absence. And so as I move in my development, of course, wholeness becomes more available to me, because my movement brings me into contact with different things. And wholeness includes all kinds of difference. So as my movement happens, my expansion happens, and my widening happens, and then of course wholeness becomes more and more available to me, in also the implicit understanding of the alreadiness of wholeness. You don't make it up or create it. It is.
Yeah. I think you and I are reaching towards a similar something here, Lizzie. So I read this poem as a poem about longing. That one of the qualities of being a human that we often forget is that whatever isn't present, we can imagine into being. I don't mean we can have anything we want happen in the world, but when we find something that feels like it's absent in us, often it's present, actually, it's here. But we haven't yet found a way to honor it, or to welcome it, or to love, or courage, or tenderness, or imagination, or integrity, or whatever. We sometimes feel like, oh, it's missing. It's gone missing in me. But it's often not so far away. But we can, our capacity to notice it's missing and then to be intentional. And so that's why it's the way I make sense of this poem is about movement. The first half that I read just essentially says, where I am, there's something missing, and I am the something that is missing. That's sort of the first part. But then the poem goes on into movement. When I walk, I part the air, and always the air moves in to fill the spaces where my body's been. And we all have reasons for moving, and I move to keep things whole. I think it's a call to our capacity, when we long for something that's really true and real, like what I might call a primary longing, like a longing that really matters. Not a secondary longing like numbing myself or distracting myself or not feeling what I feel. That's a kind of like a secondary, not the real longing that satisfies our sense of wholeness, our sense of presence, our sense of really being here, that we have to move in order to bring that about. It's actually movement that changes things. So it might be the movement of, like you say, of speaking into a microphone, or it might be the movement of reaching out to another person, or it might be the movement of writing onto a page, or it might be the movement of following a thought all the way through to the end, or it might be moving my body. Like one of the things originally, you know, this, Lizzie, I was planning on being off on a very long walk this week, and the weather conditions have not made it possible. So I'm here and sitting and talking to you. But I've come to know in myself that literally moving my body, going for a walk, allows the air to move. I part the air and then it moves to fill the spaces and things change because I move. And I think this is, it's reminding us something that's so important about being a human, that is, there's always some kind of movement possible. Even if we can't move our own bodies, we might be able to move our own thought or our own feeling or our own ideas. And this process of moving so that something parts and something fills also requires us to trust. This whole poem trusts this something called wholeness that you were talking about. It assumes that our being here and this whole dance of what isn't here and what we long for and what we could reach for and what we could move towards, that's I think this is the reason the poem makes sense to me, even though I don't really understand it yet, is I read it and I go, yeah, that is what it's like to be a human. Wherever I am, I feel something missing. I am the thing that's missing. And there's a way that I can move in life that parts the air and makes things whole. And part of the question is, what is it to find a way to move in my life that keeps on bringing me back in contact with the wholeness of things, particularly when I feel like something in me is missing, like when I feel an absence, an emptiness inside myself. The thing that's that I feel is absent and empty often is actually present here. The thing I feel like I have to get from somewhere else is here already, but I can't find it by just sitting here and waiting for it to come. I have to participate in bringing it about. Like in order to find the love that I am, one of the things I have to do is to love. So that's the way, you know, I have to walk the path of loving helps me find that I am love, that the love that I thought was absent is present. And maybe that's part of what this is we have reasons for moving. I have to move in a loving, if I move in a loving way, I might part the air in such a way that I find that love was here.
You're reminding me, Justin, of this. I remember this experiment I did once where I think I was invited into some kind of meditation about longing and what's missing in your life. And I found this, I must have been journaling or something, and I thought, well, what would it be to sit here and see if I can give myself the thing that I think I should get from someone else? What would that be? Because I realized this thing you're saying, like, well, what if I am the cultivator? What if I'm not the victim? And what if I'm not the kind of waiting for my life to come to me and happen to me and everything to be fine? But what if I'm the creator kind of thing? And I thought one way I could experiment was to sit and to feel into what I wanted from life, which might have been, knowing me, something like love, connection, warmth, being seen, being welcomed, being received, those kinds of things. So I'm remembering I wrote them down and then I spend some time with each of those words, seeing if I could bring myself receivedness in the moment without anybody doing anything for me or anything changing around me, could I see if that would be givable by me to me? Because why wouldn't it be? Anyway, I just remember this big moment of massive moment of curiosity, but also then a massive kind of, oh my goodness, this can be done, where I could sit and provide for myself. Because it was just that I had to bring forth qualities, which of course, because the longing was there, the thing was there. So then I found this availability of these qualities that I needed not to go racing around the world for and find on a beach and goodness knows where, that I had had it as a pattern for a lot of my time was, I'll find it if I go there or if I meet this person or there's a destination that would give me the thing that I'm longing for. And then I sat and saw if I could meet myself in a way that provided that quality for me. And I found that I could. And I was like, oh dear, oh no, what does life look like now? If I am filled with the things that I long for by being conscious and, as you say, imagining them into being and providing that with myself, seeing myself, maybe I could say like parenting myself, you know, being powerful in myself, that I could bring these qualities to my longing, the parts that longed for them. What then? What does that mean about life? And what should I now do? And I remember it was like a huge moment of undoing because all my activity had been based on finding things that I wanted, and it's essentially setting up experiences that I thought would have those things come to me. Which I know I've said this here probably 100 times, Justin, but like being totally let down because I thought I would get the thing when I got there and I didn't get it, because that's not the nature of being human. So it totally changed my what was then to be done. And I remember being in that kind of chasm of, well, everything I've been up to now has been to try and fulfill this thing of getting things the way that I want to get them. And then all of the disappointment racking up to have me sit down and see if I could provide the thing that I was trying to get through getting on a plane or buying something or going somewhere with people or planning something or whatever that thing was. If I could get it here, sitting on my chair, going for a walk, being with a tree, what now actions should I take? And there was this big old vacuum that then needed to have a life rebuilt inside of it that wasn't one that made decisions and did things in service of the thing that didn't exist anymore.
Yeah. It's clear to me, Lizzie, that we're not talking here about practical things like, I need a glass of water, I'm thirsty, imagining that, and sort of imagine up a glass of water inside me. But we're talking about something like our deep longings. What I got thinking about is when we imagine that the hole that we feel inside ourselves around belonging to the world will get filled by having people who'll tell us we belong. It goes part of the way. It's really important to have people around us who'll tell us we'll belong, but the something in ourselves that needs to be filled can't get filled by that, because the recognition of other people saying we belong lands in an absence in us, and then it just sort of gets swallowed up, and then we have to keep on filling it. And what I can hear you saying, the way I'm making sense of what you're saying, is that those qualities, those absences in us, they don't lie over the mountains and over the sea. They can't be answered by getting on a plane. There might be other reasons to go over the mountain and over the sea. But it turns out that those are ours. They are in us and of us. And for various reasons, we've probably forgotten them or had to exile them or whatever it is. And it's, as you've been talking, I've been thinking about this line at the end of Mark's poem, we all have reasons for moving and I move to keep things whole. And I've been thinking, it thought occurred to me that this whole conversation we've been in called Turning Towards Life for 8.5 years we've talked so often about the ordinary and the everyday that we often find that what we're really longing for and really looking for isn't found in the grand gesture. It won't be found when I've visited the 100 places in the world I want to visit. It might be a completely legitimate wish, but it doesn't answer the deep hunger we have. That's often found by moving through the ordinary world. Like, it seems to me that there's a sacredness in the everyday world, in how we talk to the people around us, or how we move through the places we live, or how we wash the dishes, or how we do our taxes, or how we get on the bus, that the bringing into our awareness and our intention. So what is it that matters to me? It's love. How can I move through the world in a loving way? How can I move through the world, the ordinary everyday world, in a world that amplifies belonging for myself and for everyone? How can I? That's where it lives. And so there's something very humble about this poem, actually. It's not grand. I move. We all have reasons for moving. I move to keep things whole. This sense that so often there's something in us that we think is outside of us that we seek is really, really close by, but it's going to take lots of attention, and it might take lots of moving and practice and attention and moving and practice to discover it. It's not always easy to do, particularly when we've been convinced ourselves or been convinced by the world that something really is missing. So I suppose what I'm going to take from this, despite all of my attempts to disentangle the language here, which I know that's one of the things I've been doing, is I wonder what this means and what this means. Actually, what I'm going to take from this conversation today is an invitation from Mark Strand's writing to move through life in a way that keeps things whole. In other words, to see if I can bring my attention to the way I move, the ordinary, everyday ways of moving, as a way of bringing into presence that which I most long for. So I'm going to speak to my family that way. I'm going to put together the video for this podcast in that way. I'm going to go for a walk in that way. It feels like such a different invitation than, I don't know, trying to fill my time, or desperately trying to get everything done, or trying to numb myself, or any of those other things. It's sort of like an invitation to treat every movement into my life as something intentional that might bring something close that I think is a long way away.
Well, the thing I'm going to do, Justin, is a thing that I said that I didn't feel like I could do when we began, which is that when I feel the absence of something, I'm going to see if it's true that it's also present. So I think absence and presence, now we've talked about it, have kind of, I don't feel so alienated from those words. I feel it's a bit more possible for me to see the connection between them than the kind of discombobulation of like, hold on, you can't say when something's here, it's not here, what are you talking about? I'm going to go, okay, so if something feels like it's not here, because it feels like it's not here, maybe it is here. And what that is, and maybe that they are the same thing. Anyway, so I feel shot into maybe a new reality somehow. And I'm going to wander through the day and the week and see what that means.
I so appreciate, Lizzie, your willingness to enter publicly with me, because this is a public conversation you and I are having. It's not just a private one between the two of us. To enter with me into the realms of really barely knowing what we're talking about and reaching for something together. And I can feel in me this feeling of, okay, so I don't understand all the words and I don't even understand everything we've said, but I can feel a kind of return to something very important and real and true here at this point in our conversation as we come to an end. So thank you so much for being a person who's committed to that. It's so different from trying to have a polished, we'll go away and edit this together in a way that makes sense, and we can publish clips of it that everyone will understand. That's not what this conversation is. So I greatly appreciate you for doing that, and then us for doing that. And I want to also appreciate all of you who listen. We had a wonderful conversation as part of Turning Towards Life Live this week, where someone in the group said how they didn't always understand the conversations, but that wasn't the most important thing. Something else was going on. So for those of you who didn't run away when there wasn't a clear list of bullet points or topics covered, but stayed with us in the conversation about this wonderful and mysterious poem and everything it evoked, thank you. And maybe this conversation might be an opening to a new way of encountering life over the coming days, and that would be a wonderful thing to come from this podcast and this conversation. So it's time for us to finish, and all being well, we will be back here again next week, and you can find the poem in the show notes, and or you could sign up for the email on our website and get it that way. And thank you for being with us, and thank you, Lizzie, and bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.